I want to start by kind of reviewing letters of 1 John. Okay, summary. I want to start by reviewing last week. What we talked about last week, I kind of did it as a meal with an appetizer. The appetizer roughly was that there was a group who had left the church and they were kind of teaching the false things. Okay, then we went into the three main points of it, which are up there. There is a necessary connection that exists between knowing Christ and obeying his commandments. The second one is it follows from that, or follows from this, that you can have assurance that you truly know Christ if you obey his commandments. And the third one, it follows from this, following in line with that, that anyone who says he abides in Christ ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So John, when he was doing this, was talking about commandments. It's obedience. How do you know if you're a Christian? How do you know if you're doing this? You follow Christ's commands. You follow what he says. He never tells us what the commands are. And so he's talking in kind of general terms. The whole thing was in general terms, follow the commands. I went on, and there, kind of for the dessert, there were a couple of quotes. I would like to redo one of them for you this morning. It is by William Barclay, and it says, "The tragedy of life and of the world is not that men do not know God." Okay, the tragedy is not that we do not know God. The tragedy is that in knowing him, we still insist on doing our own thing and going our own way. That is the tragedy. Okay? What we want to do is, today we want to kind of continue on, and it'll be 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11 is what we'll be focusing on. There's the letter to be delivered, 1 John 2, 7 through 11. Today's text. Hopefully you can turn there in your Bibles if you have one. Again, we'll be going through the series. There is bookmarks available. If you want a bookmark, there are some in the back that'll tell you what we will be studying. And today, Pastor Frank and I made the exchange. I gave him the notes. Okay, so he's got them. He's got them in electronic format, and he's got them in print. And we'll see where it goes in 2 weeks. So he's got kind of 2 weeks to get ready for this. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 7 through 11, you can follow along in your Bibles if you have them, or they will be up there. Here we go. Let's dig in. "Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet, I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him, and you, because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him." So we want to look at this today. The title of it flashed by earlier. It's "The One Who Loves Lives in Light." Okay, it's kind of this scripture. We're going to do it. Actually, the parts that were up there is broken up into two sections. 7 and 8 was the first page. The page that Tim just showed was 9, 10, and 11. So we'll break them up that way. The 7 and 8 are the specific command. Last week I said he spoke in kind of general terms, commandments, obey commandments. This week John wants to get down to a specific commandment, talk about it specifically. So this one, 7 and 8, we'll talk about the specific commands. 9, 10, and 11, we won't spend a lot of time on. We'll mostly do 7 and 8, and then we'll just kind of breeze through 9, 10, 11. 9, 10, 11 are actually kind of a repeat that we've done on two other sections prior. So we'll dig in 7 and 8. As you get into verses 7 and 8, there are four questions to ask. The first one is, what is the commandment referred to in both verses? When he gets into these verses, he talks about a commandment. It's not an old commandment. It's not a new commandment. It's an old commandment. And yet so he's talking about a commandment. What is that commandment that is referred to? The second question, in what sense is it an old commandment? How is it old? Third question, goes along with it. In what sense is it new? What sense is this commandment a new commandment? And then the fourth question is, why does John go through all this trouble of stressing its oldness and stressing its newness? It's a commandment. So dig in. Verse 7 says, This is question number one. What is the commandment referred to in both verses? Verse 7 says, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment." And then verse 8 goes on and says, "Yet I am writing you a new commandment." Again, what is this commandment? You can go on and drop down just a little bit farther in this as he gets into 9, 10, 11. He kind of tells us what it is. He says it's the love commandment. You can go on, and if you read in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 34, and this is Jesus talking, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So you can look at it. John wrote the book of John. He wrote this, and if he's heard that, and that's what Jesus said, John is trying to focus on here. The commandment that is a new commandment and is an old commandment at the same time is the love commandment. But John goes on and makes it even more clear as he talks a little bit later on in 2 John. There's only one chapter in 2 John, so it's 2 John, verse 5. It says, "And now I beg you, lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one you have had from the beginning, that we love one another." So John, all throughout these things, as you read a little bit farther in this chapter, in another book, and also in the epistle or the gospel of John, love one another. That is the commandment. That's what he's talking about. The commandment he's talking about is to love one another. Okay? What sense is this commandment old? Okay, verse 7 kind of stresses this part of it. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard." So the second question then is, how is this, or what does he mean by it is an old commandment? How is it an old commandment? John says, and here he gives a little bit of clues, one of them is that it's from the beginning. What does he mean by from the beginning? Tim, go to the next slide, question number two. Part one. I kind of split them up a little bit, so there are quite a few slides. In what sense is this commandment new? And then verse 7 is there. He's talking about in the beginning. It's not a new commandment. It's the old commandment. It's what you have heard from the beginning. Now, there are all kinds of questions about what does he mean by the beginning? What is the beginning? Is it the beginning when God and Jesus were together? Is it the beginning when, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth? In here, I think what John is trying to say is, in the beginning, when you first heard about the gospel, when somebody first came up to you, or you first read it, and you first read about the love of God, that's the beginning. Your first awareness. Maybe when you first became a Christian, when you first gave your life to God, that is the beginning. That's why it's not new. It's not necessarily the beginning of time. It's the beginning when you knew it. That is the beginning. When he does this, John is not trying to lay any heavy load on us. He's not saying, "I'm adding something new to you, and I'm giving you some new stuff." He says, "No, this is what you have always known. This is what you have heard in the past. This is the oldness of it." And there's a couple of them in 1 John 1:3. We've talked about this. "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you." And this was John talking. "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you." Okay, chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light." Okay, God is light. A lot of times when John is talking here, when he's talking about love and he's talking about light, it's the same thing. You remember when we were talking about God is light, we actually compared it to hope, not purity. Sometimes you can think of light as purity, but in this sense, I think John is talking about light is being hope. There's a hope. There's a light that shines. Okay, and that is more of what he's talking about here. Verse 11, 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, that one is up there. It says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you." No, sorry. "This is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Okay, that's what he's talking about. It's a message that you've always heard. It's a message that is there, that you should love one another. There are many people, as they go through their Christian walk, think of Christianity in two stages. There is the convert stage and the discipleship stage. Okay? The convert stage, stage one. That's where you become a Christian. We will share with somebody, we'll say anything to them to get them to become a Christian. Okay? Then you move on to stage two. And stage two is the discipleship. This is where you start learning what the cost is. What does it cost to be a disciple? What does it cost to follow Christ? Well, that's John is in what he's saying here, he's saying that is wrong. When you go up to somebody, when you're talking to somebody, they need to know the cost. How many of you, when you see an ad on the television or in the newspaper, or somebody's talking with you and they're telling you all the benefits, this is great, you know, and they've got this new appliance, this new gadget or something, and they tell you about all of its benefits, and you're saying, tell me what the bottom line is. What is it going to cost me? Okay, we want to know what the cost is. But a lot of times in our Christian walk, when we're sharing with somebody, when we're telling somebody about Jesus Christ, we want to share the love of Christ without letting them know what the cost is. And the cost, it may be you have to love other people. Maybe people you really, really can't love or you really don't want to love. But the discipleship, the commandments are there, and that is part of the cost. And so John in this is saying it's nothing new. You're not hearing anything new by reading this. What I'm telling you, it's not anything new. It's the same old stuff. Love one another even as Christ has loved us. It is kind of the cost of it. When you become a Christian, it's all part of that. Okay? Listen to this. Christ died for sinners on the basis of that atoning death, God offers to us forgiveness, hope, and the power to change. It's all a package. It's not like you can just have forgiveness now and not worry about the change that takes place. It needs to be both. It all has to be there, all three parts of it. Forgiveness and hope and change. It's all or nothing. With Jesus Christ, you can't have one and not have the other. The reason that the false teachers were going out there and some of the things that were going on that John was trying to dispel here was that they were saying, we don't need to change. We can live our old life and we can still be Christians. We can accept God, but we can walk the old way. And John's saying, no, that's not the case. It's all or nothing. When you come to God, okay, when you accept Jesus Christ, you're going to change. It's the power of God that creates the change in your life. That's what he's talking about. That's the old commandment. It's what you've always heard. Okay? It's what has always been there. In what sense is the commandment new? Next slide, Tim. Question will be up there. What sense is the commandment new? Now you have to go on to verse 8. If we look at verse 8, it says, yet I am writing you a new commandment, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Okay, how is this commandment, if it's an old commandment, how is it also a new commandment? We want to focus on one word for this point in time. It's kind of hidden up in there. It is already. The word is already. What does already mean? Feedback. Somebody, what does already mean? When you hear already, what does it mean? It's already happened. You can't use a word to define a word. How do you define already? What is already? Wait. Douglas threw his hand up in the air. I got to listen to this. What was it? It's happened previously. Okay. Somebody else? I heard people going on. Past tense. Okay. Is? Okay. It is. I'm going to define already by is. It's shorter. You won't have to type as many letters. Okay. That's good. Already. Anybody else? When you hear already, something is already, what is it? Can't happen again. Okay. I like all that. That's good. By already, here's what we're looking at. When he's saying this, when John is saying, you know, you're waiting for this thing to pass away and the true light is already shining, we expected the light to be coming. We knew it was going to be here, but you know what? It's not something that's in the future. It is present tense. It is already here. It is already amongst us. Jesus Christ, who is the true light, is already shining. That's what he's saying. That's where he's going when he's saying it's a new commandment. It is already taking place. The light is already shining. Jesus Christ has already come. It's begun. Listen to this. Yeah, it's on there. It may be a little bit small on the bottom. Isaiah, when John would know the Old Testament, okay? As he's writing to them, he would know the Old Testament, and he would know this. And you try to picture this as I read it for you. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 and 20. And this picture must be ringing through the people's heads as he says, the light is already shining. This was their hope. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you by night. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. See, that's what he's talking about. There's going to come a day in time when we will no longer require the light from the sun to be our light. And we won't require at nighttime for the moon to shine to be our light. Jesus Christ will be our light. New things will happen. There'll be a new kingdom that'll come. God's kingdom will come to earth. And you know what? By what the verse says, which is up there, it is already shining. The new kingdom of God has already come. That's Jesus Christ. That was the hope that John had. And that's what he's trying to tell him. That is how this is new. It is new because Jesus Christ has come and taken what was there. The Israelites in Moses' time, they had taken all the commandments, all the laws that God had had, and they had turned them into regulations. They had taken them and said, to be a Jewish person, to follow God, you have to follow these rules. They had, through all of those regulations, through all the commandments, they had established a ladder by which to get to heaven. If you follow these, you'll make your way up into heaven. But that's not what it is. That's why Jesus Christ is new. That's why John was saying this is a new commandment in Jesus Christ. The old things that were there, we don't want to live by those. He's trying to dispel legalism. Okay? He's trying to get the people to get away from the legalism that they had established in trying to follow all of the laws that were there. It's not the laws that are going to get you to light. It's not the laws that are going to get you to shine. I have some pictures. They should be next. Imagine a light, and Tim's got some here. You might be able to see them. There's a mountain. And as the sun begins to come up, sometimes you'll see rays, and not quite as easy to see there. Ooh, yeah. Now we're getting better. Imagine sometimes if you go out camping or you're out there and the sun begins to come up, sometimes if you look this way and Mount Hood, you'll see rays of light coming up. The single ray, sometimes there'll be a single ray of light that'll shine through. That single ray of light is Jesus Christ. He came, wow, that's really bright when you stand here. Yeah. He came to be that single ray of light. Tim, go to the next one. And as the sun continues to shine, you can see more and more rays. You are those extra rays. As you grow in Christ and as you follow Christ and you're obedient to him and you love, you add to the light that is shining. One more picture of sunrises. I love sunrises. See, the light that is shining is already shining. Jesus Christ was that light. He was that hope. You are that hope as well as you obey him and as you follow him. That's what he's talking about. It's the light that shines. It's the light that is already come in Jesus Christ, and that is the hope. That is the hope that they had when they heard about it, and that is the hope that he is trying to give to us. That is the newness. Jesus Christ is new. We no longer have to follow the old ones. Okay, go on. Question number four. Why does John stress the oldness and the newness? He goes on, he makes it a point, say, okay, it's old and it's new, and doing some of these things, going back and forth. I am writing you a new commandment, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Okay? He's trying to distinguish the oldness of it. He's trying to distinguish it from the new teachings. We had talked about the false prophets. It's old because it's been there from the very beginning. It's the ancient one. It's ancient days. God and Jesus, it always has been this way. The new prophets, they're telling you new things. They're telling you that you can live without doing this. That is the oldness part of it. And there are verses that follow along with that. They had they were progressive in their thinking. They actually, these false teachers who were going out, they were progressing beyond even the things that Jesus had been teaching. Their thinking had gone way beyond that. We need to go back to the old ways. We need to go back to what it meant when we first heard it. That is the oldness of it. He stressed the newness of it because We had heard it from the beginning, okay? It was the original presentation and not some later adjustment. Again, it cannot be this one stage and this two stage. He's trying to say it's old and it's new, okay? The newness of it isn't that. Again, it would be easy to take some of these things, and if you take what John says and you kind of take them out of order and you put them in different ways, you turn into legalism. What is legalism? What was that? The laws and the laws alone. Okay. Legalism. What is legalism? I know. Anybody? Rules. Okay. Somebody else? Wait. Timmy says what? Type of government. Okay. Having to live within the government and within rules. I know when I was in junior high, I first became a Christian, and you know what? It was too easy to say, God, forgive me. And personally, the type of person that I was, there had to be something more. And I spent a lot of time punishing myself and saying, there's got to be more. Somehow, I have to do something more. I cannot just say, God, would you forgive me? And it would happen. I believed that there was something I had to do to get my way into heaven. That's what legalism is. Listen to this. Here's what John is talking about. Here's what the New Testament looks as legalism. Legalism is the view that by performing certain acts, we earn or deserve or come to merit the reward of eternal life. That's legalism. Following by the rules. You know, if you do this and this and this and this, you can earn your way into heaven. It's a ladder that the Jewish people, the Israelites, had done. If you do this, you will earn your way into heaven. And that is what these new false teachers are doing. They were setting up rules. If you do this, you can earn your way into heaven. How many of you think you can earn your way into heaven? Good. I'm not going to give you time to think about it and raise your hand and stuff. Listen to these three lines. They're kind of on the bottom down there, okay? Look at these. I will read them for you. You can follow along. Love can't earn the light of the kingdom. It is the light of the kingdom already shining, okay? Love can't merit eternal life. It is eternal life already present. Our love can't deserve God's love. It is God's love already being perfected in us. So when he's giving the love commandment, he's telling them that they should love one another. Sometimes there are people that you are not going to be able to love. You just aren't going to. But what he says here, and what we're talking about here, is you can love them in Jesus Christ, and you can love them because God loves them. And that's where it says it is being perfected in us. And we will actually get a little bit more into that later on. What you'll find out about this as you read through 1 John, if you read through it, is he talks a lot about love, and he gets deeper and deeper and deeper into what it means. So as this series goes along, we'll get more and more into it, okay? The three lines are already there. I'm going to say them again one time real quick. Love can't earn the light of the kingdom. It is the light of the kingdom already shining. Love can't merit eternal life. It is eternal life. It's already present. And love can't deserve God's love. It is God's love already being perfected in us. Okay? We're going to try something a little bit different here. I thought of this this morning and typed it up really quick. In the pews in front of you, somewhere there you'll have them. Some of you who aren't on pews, you're going to have to go here. You're going to find a piece of paper. Like the genius I am, I don't have them, but they look like this. Okay, there are two scripture verses in here. We're going to work on them. Anybody else need one? I got one. If you don't have one, there should be some right in front of you. There's more of them. I have them all over. They're somewhere in the pew right in front of you, there is a rack. Does somebody need one? Hopefully there's pencils there too. I looked as I was going around and there were pencils. There are two scripture verses here. We're going to work on them a little bit. We are going to try to take these two verses and put them together and get part of this, get it going. The very first verse is John 5, is 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And John says, and this is the testimony God has given us. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Okay, think about it for a minute. We got plenty of time because we got lunch today. So I know I get a chuckle out of some of you. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Okay? Okay, you're thinking about it for a second. Then there's some blank lines down there. I actually put in blank lines for you. What did you get from this? What did you hear from this? As you were reading it, or as I read it for you, and you're going along, what did you hear? Eternal life is in and from Christ. Okay. Has given is the same as already. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully you've been able to write something down or you have some thoughts. Here's where I got from it. Here's what I got from it. Here's where I'm at with it. Eternal life is a gift that God already gave us. You cannot earn it. In there, it says that God has given us eternal life. So He's given it to us. It is a gift. It's already given to us. God has given us the gift of eternal life. It's already there. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Think about it. What are your thoughts on it? We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Thoughts. What were some of your thoughts on it? Anybody? Yeah.
Well, John says in his gospel that God is love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. John says that God is light. He also says that God is love. And when you start putting this together, we have to walk in the light. We have to walk in the love. If we are not doing that, then we are not necessarily part of God. And if you actually go on, which we will later on, I don't need to flip it now. If we go on and you read 9, 10, 11, that's the test. There's the test of the one who loves, and there's the test of the one who does not love. We've already talked about that in a couple sections. So anyone else, what did you get from this? We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Did you get anything else from it? Yeah.
We've been extremely hurt recently by somebody who we love. And we were just praying that God would help them to see that we would not have Christ in our life. If God did not live in our life, we would not be able to continue to love that person.
Okay.
And we do.
Okay. Yes, sometimes things happen to us from people we love, okay? And if it was not because of the love that Christ has for us or Christ's love shining through us, we would not be able to continue to love them. But because it does, we can continue to love that person. And when you continue to love that person, then what happens?
We can pray for that person. Uh-huh. And pray for healing over the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we can pray for repentance of that person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can pray for that person, pray for repentance, pray for them. Somehow, as that love is being reflected, or that love that you have is being extended to them through Jesus Christ and only through Him, then some kind of forgiveness in some extent happens. You cannot love the person and then not forgive them. Somehow they have to go hand in hand. The forgiveness and the love go together. Okay? Anyone, anything else that you got from it? Yes. Okay. Okay. The reason I repeat it is some of you may not hear it, but it also helps those people who Tim is trying to get this to so they can hear it. Death is separation from God, okay? And if, okay, you're going to have to go again. I lost it all.
Death is separation from God.
Uh-huh.
God is love.
God is love.
If we do not love, then we do not have fellowship.
If death is separation from God and God is love. If we do not love, then we do not have fellowship with God. And so, see, they kind of go hand in hand. And that's what he's talking about. Last week, as he was talking, jumping back to last week, it was going through and saying, you know, in general terms, you follow the commandments. We're giving you a specific commandment to follow. This week, you have to try to love people. Okay? Specifically, that's what John said here. You need to start loving people. Okay, take these two verses and put them together. What do you get? That would be kind of the final thought there. Love and forgiveness, okay. Okay, you can't earn your way to heaven, but you can love your way to heaven. Because if you're loving other people, then you are being loved by God and that love is shining through you and you're following with God. Some of your answers are better than what I have. Anybody else? How did you put them together? I'll tell you what I've got. You can write them down if you want. I should have had it so it was up there in case you wanted to. Here's what I get from it. And I know what I got from it because I have it written in blue. Otherwise, I would never find it. Love is the evidence of eternal life in us, and eternal life in us is a gift of God. You take the two verses and you put them together, okay? Take the two verses, join them together. You get, love is the evidence of eternal life in us. And eternal life in us is a gift from God. You cannot earn eternal life. There is nothing that you can do to earn eternal life. It's impossible. Well, I guess there's one thing you can do. That's to accept the gift that God has already given to you, okay? That's the only thing that you can do. You cannot be... What? You're accepting it. That's right. It is a gift that is given to you. So you're not even earning that. That is correct. It's a gift given to you. You accept it. It is yours. You cannot... Good old boys don't make it into heaven, okay? They're good, and there are a lot of people who do good things, but that will not get you into heaven. Okay? Look at it this way. As John is doing this, and I'm trying to figure out how to put this together. As John is saying this, and the people are hearing it, you need to hear what he is saying. You need to hear this. You need to love each other. You need to have the love of Christ. You need to do this. It is a doctor's prescription. Okay? It is not a job description. Okay? What he's talking about here, the love commandment is a doctor's prescription. Do the love commandment to get better. Okay? It's not a job description, whereas by doing this, you do these things, you do this, and you're going to earn your way in. It's not going to happen. It is a doctor's prescription. It is not a job description. Okay? If you don't love, you're not of God. Scripture even says that. That is correct. And actually, you get on 1 John 4, 7, and 8. We'll get to it in just a little bit. It is a song. Let us love one another, for love is of God. I'm not doing it again. I listened a couple weeks ago when I sang with the kids. It's bad. It is. The only saving grace, thank you, Tim, is Lisa still had her microphone on, and he got some of her in there. So if you really want to hear Lisa and I sing a duet, I don't know if Lisa even knows this, Lisa and I are actually singing a duet on a tape, which I never, ever thought would happen. But it's there from a couple weeks ago. Not part of it. Tim has been working. You can actually subscribe. All the messages are on podcast. You can actually get onto iTunes, and every week it'll actually download for you automatically if you want the messages, and you can set up different parameters for it and things. So it is there. He has it on a feed, and it's all possible. See Tim if you want. It's there, and he's told it to me. I know I can get it because I can click on the little spot. I'll have a little heart, and I've saved it. So, and mine automatically downloads every week now. So you can get them online if you would like them, so you can listen to them and get some more of this. Okay, that's kind of it real quick. The love commandment. We cannot do anything to earn it. It is a gift that has been given to us. and a gift that we can accept. And it is a doctor's prescription. It is not a job description. Okay, next slide. We'll go on to part two. Part two, which is 9, 10, and 11. We have actually spoken about this same stuff a little bit ago. Two other tests, times they were tests that were given, I will read them for you. It was 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7. And it says, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Again, there's this test. How do you know if you are walking in light? How do you know if you are living for Jesus Christ? It's walking in light. Okay? Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. This was last week. "The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him." Okay? This again is just another one of the tests. He's just talking about tests. How do you know if you're doing the love commandment? How do you know if you're actually loving people? Okay? There are two tests. If you take verse 9 and verse 11, okay, that would be in there. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still. I'm going to jump. Is in the darkness still. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I left verse 10 out when I was reading that because 9 and 11 kind of go together. It's one of the tests. It talks about hate and hating people. Okay, that's the negative part of it. That's the negative test. If there's a litmus test and you stick it in there and it comes out and you find yourself hating people or not loving people, then you're not walking the light. The love commandment is not there. If you go to verse 10 of this, "Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble." Okay, there's a test. As we went through this and we were talking about the four questions, the four parts, it's a new commandment. It's an old commandment. It's all there. You cannot earn it. It's the same message that we've been preaching from the beginning. If somebody tries to tell you something new, that was the way you got into heaven, but now if you do this, this is how you're going to get into heaven, it's wrong. Okay? There is no other way. It is Jesus Christ. And it's just accepting the gift that he has for you. Okay? That's what it is. As we go on and on in these series, as we go through this some more and more, we'll get into how to apply this and get more into love and get more into the commandments. But we just want to take time today and listen to this. Go ahead, Tim. Next slide. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace." We want to take joy in that today. We want to finish today with that. And the worship team is going to come on up, and we're going to sing that song. But as they're coming up and doing things, I have something here, and they'll come up. It is amazing grace. What God has done for us, the things that he's done, it's just totally amazing. This is my cardboard testimony. Some of you may have seen it. This is me. Okay?
No.
This is me. This is where I was. Okay? When I first... Okay, here you go, worship team. This was me. And Lisa could testify to it if you want. This was me. But you know what? This is where I am now.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, here you go. That is me now. That's the hardest one to write in. But that's what it is. God has a gift that he wants to give to you. It's already shining. That gift is Jesus Christ. And today we want to just bask in that. We want to live in the glory of the moment, that it is amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Our chains are gone. We've been set free. Worship team, it's all yours.